Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Holy and gracious God, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful weather that you have given us today. Lord, we just ask in this time that your spirit will descend upon us and the words in my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, we finished our sermon series today called Holy Moments of Jesus. And we have explored the stories of people who met Jesus before his death and resurrection, and either who learned or who Jesus revealed to them that of his divinity. We have also talked about us having holy moments with Jesus today. And so we have learned that we meet Jesus when we least expect to find him. We meet Jesus in others. We see Jesus and how he works in our lives. And finally, we meet Jesus in our moments of need. Today, we conclude our series with a woman who anoints Jesus the week before his death. The story of the woman who anoints Jesus is obviously an important story to explore because of what it says about Jesus. But it's also a really fun story to explore because of the many interpretations and translations of this story. A fun fact about this particular story is that her story is told in all four gospel accounts. However, there are slight variations in each gospel in how it is told. In the Gospel of Matthew, for example, you would swear that Matthew cheated off of Mark's paper, because it is almost word for word identical. The Gospel of Luke is similar, but there's a few slight variations. And of course, the Gospel of John, as usual, is just different from the rest. While there is no way to know for sure why there are different variations of this one story, I would say that the variations come from the fact that each Gospel gets their story from different sources. And each writer had their own agenda of what they wrote and why. We're not going to get into the nitty-gritty details of how they're different, but I do want to explore some of the bigger differences between the four gospel accounts. So as far as the identity of the woman, the first three gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke all just say that she is an unnamed woman. The Gospel of Luke, however, adds that she was also a sinful woman. The Gospel of John, however, cites the woman as Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Remember, we just talked about Martha last week. Remember, with their brother Lazarus who died and Jesus raised him back to life. That's their sister Mary. However, for some reason, a lot of people tend to think that the woman who anoints Jesus is Mary Magdalene. And there's a reason why people kind of tend to carry that assumption. It's because people don't realize that this one story is told in four different gospel accounts. And so when people tell this story, they tend to lump all the accounts together with all the different variations to them. And so the first three gospel accounts just say it's unnamed, but the Luke's account says it's a sinful woman. John's account says it's Mary. So when we tell the story, we say a sinful woman named Mary did this. And then people tend to think that it must be Mary Magdalene because everyone assumes that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. But that's also incorrect because Mary Magdalene was not a prostitute. So just incorrect assumptions across the board, right? We don't know who the exact woman is if you go by the first three gospel accounts. But I can tell you for certain, the woman who anoints Jesus is not Mary Magdalene. Okay? All four stories, however, are similar in that it takes place in a home, although whose home it takes place in differs from each account. And all four stories agree that this story happens the week before Jesus' death, although the exact day differs. However, where the Gospels majorly differ again is what part of the body the woman anoints, Matthew and Mark tells us that she poured perfume on Jesus' head, but Luke and John tells us she poured it on his feet. So I just kind of wanted to do a greater overview of the four gospel accounts just to kind of give us an awareness of just the major differences or similarities between the four. But now if we just look at the Gospel of Matthew, this account of the story happens 2 days before Passover, right before Jesus' death. And it foreshadows what Jesus would do in the next few days. By anointing Jesus with the perfume, she was anointing him for his burial, which was traditionally done by women during this time period for people who had died. But the fact that she poured it over his head is symbolic of a royal commission. And so, in other words, I know in this story, she never says with her words, nor does Jesus ever say with his words, that he is the Son of God, right? But I still included this story in our sermon series because she still, through her actions, recognizes his divinity. She recognizes that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Kings, who has come to save us all from our sins. When she poured the perfume over his head, it was similar to what a priest does for somebody who's being appointed to a high office and of someone to recognize and affirm their calling that God has placed on their lives. Think about, for example, kings and queens who, when they're finally, I don't remember what the word is, but when they're finally made the king and queen in their official service, they pour perfume on them or pour oil. That's what this is happening here. It's like that similarity there. And by pouring costly perfume on Jesus, she pours all that she has on Jesus, sacrificing her most costly item of what she owns to show her love and devotion to Jesus, who was about to sacrifice his body for the salvation of the world. She literally pours out all that she has to show her commitment in following Jesus. Through her actions, she sacrifices everything to follow a man who was about to sacrifice all that he was, giving him strength for the road ahead, reminding him he didn't go alone. The unnamed woman found Jesus when she sacrificed all that she had for Jesus. Sacrifice is a word that makes us uncomfortable. We are in a culture that doesn't even like to sacrifice their spot in line, let alone sacrifice something important for a greater cause. But with that said, we do have wonderful examples of what sacrifice looks like today. For those who have or currently serve the military, we recognize their sacrifices that they made. Either the ultimate sacrifice or that they sacrificed their freedom so that others could be free. First responders sacrifice their safety to keep others safe. Popular stories on social media show the power of sacrifice of those who sold bigger or special items to help somebody else out in need, or of sacrificing time to show someone else that they are loved and cared for. We lift people up for their sacrifices, rightly so, because sacrifice is not normal. It's not our first reaction to want to sacrifice something significant for another person. I mean, I don't even like to sacrifice a dollar at the grocery store when they ask me if they want me to donate to a charity. Sacrifice is a big deal. And Jesus talked a lot about sacrifice. Jesus told us that those who want to gain their lives must lose it. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Even the founder of the Methodist Church, John Wesley, in talking about money, said that we should make and save all we can and then give all we can. Whereas the rest of us like to make and save all we can and then spend all we can, right? Sacrifice is backwards to our human nature. And that's why Jesus lifts up this woman for sacrificing all that she had to anoint him, saying that truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And 2,000 years later, we are still talking about this woman's sacrifice, because what this woman did wasn't normal. It wasn't natural. People scolded her, mocked her for her dramatic display of affection. They didn't understand why she was making her sacrifice, because this woman had an insight that few others had, that Jesus wasn't just another man. He was the Son of God, sent to make the biggest sacrifice for all of humanity of all time, to die on the cross and to save us from our sins. In comparison to what Jesus was about to do, her sacrifice of expensive perfume didn't seem adequate, but it was all that she owned to show him how much she loved him and was committed to him. You know, when I think about the stories of people who sacrificed something for others, usually by that point when we're hearing the story, they're being interviewed for an article or for a paper or for the news of some sort. But you know what my favorite part is of those interviews? Is that inevitably the interviewer will ask the person who sacrificed, why did they do it? Why did they sacrifice that big thing for somebody else? Why did they do it? And you know what they'll say 9 times out of 10? It was just something that had to be done, because they're a decent human being. Sometimes they'll even say, I don't know why I'm being interviewed. It's just what everybody else would have done, right? They saw somebody else in need. They just wanted to show somebody that they loved and were cared for. It was really just as simple as that for them. When you and I think of sacrifice, we think of all these wonderful people who gave so much, and we think to ourselves, I could never do that. Well, you're right. You might not be able to do what they did, but maybe there's something else that you could do instead. Something that comes more natural to you. Something that's more simple. Sacrifice doesn't have to be big. Sacrifice can be giving up 10 minutes every day to write notes of encouragement. Sacrifice can be giving a few extra dollars in your wallet to a cause or to church when you were saving those few dollars for a cup of coffee. Sacrifice can be stopping and taking some time to play with a child. Sacrifice can be giving Jesus your heart. Freely offering whatever you have, no matter how small, to be used for God. Sacrifice is pouring out your love for Jesus, showing your devotion for Jesus, committing yourself to wherever Jesus leads you. In this Lenten season, think about what sacrifice means to you. What do you have to offer Jesus? What is Jesus asking you to sacrifice? How can you show your love and devotion to Jesus in your daily lives? Thanks be to God for this woman who anointed Jesus. For wherever we tell her story, there the gospel is proclaimed. Amen.